and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well since I escaped from the cold of Toronto. Came back here. It was not very pleasant for quite a while, but over the last couple of days, spring has sprung here, yeah. Rob.
Stop it, because it's still cold here in Toronto. I'm waiting for it to warm up, Mickey. This is the beginning to starting to be a bit of a habit for me at this end, Mickey, because once again, I have to compliment you on your choice of topics. We're going to be focusing on copper for this edition of the program. And it comes at a time, you know full well, when there's been an inversion of the yield curve. And that is when the yield on the U.S. 10-year Treasury bond drops below the yield on the U.S. 3-month Treasury bond, often a pretty good indicator of a recession. And when you talk about the health of the overall economy, Mickey, copper is the metal that we often focus on, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, Rob. And with the yield curve inversion, which first happened about the middle of last week and has continued this week, Dr. Copper's back in the office.
Okay, well, year to date, what is the price of copper? It's up, what, more than 8%? Down more than 13% from early June of last year. But turn the clock back a little bit further, go back about 3 years, I think we're up more than 30%. So when you take all that into consideration, Mickey, should investors be concerned about the movement that we're seeing in yields right now in the bond market?
Well, I have no idea because I'm not a macro economist. I mean, certainly the world economy is slowing down, and this yield inversion would tend to indicate some fear in the United States. But our economy is booming so far. So what I really want to focus here is on the short-term fundamentals and projections of copper. Copper was entrenched from $2.90 to $2.96 for the last month and a half. It is now, with today's close at 287.5, is right at its 50-day moving average. And really, this is solely because of recession fears. And I would say it's fears because our markets are still doing very well. Our economy is doing well. Record low unemployment, record number of jobs at all. But the market did not react well. The copper market did not react well to this latest yield curve inversion.
Yeah, and for listeners who may not be familiar, the yield curve inversion does not indicate a recession is going to happen next week or next month.
No.
I mean, quite often it's a forward indicator. A lot of people who are in the know on these macro issues, Mickey, they talk about perhaps maybe 9 months, 2 years out kind of thing. So this is not something that's lurking right around the corner, is it?
No, certainly not, although it could happen much sooner than 9 months or a year, year and a half. Mm-hmm. But it is a very forward-looking indicator. But so is copper, and copper has been higher, as you mentioned, up 8%, at one point up about 12% on the year until this last 8-cent loss. But what we really need, what's going on in the copper right now, market right now, is the hedge funds have moved back in a bit. They were massively short in January. Mm-hmm. They moved those positions out for the most part and have been starting to accumulate small net long positions. And that might have something to do with the price rise, which happened, 5 or 6 weeks ago, mm-hmm. when it went up to a high of 297. As the winds blow back and forth on this trade tariff issue with China and the United States, so goes copper. And I do not look for Copper to make any big moves until there's some progress on these trade talks.
Right. And as we are conducting this interview, Mickey, I believe there were reports earlier today indicating that President Donald Trump is expressing optimism over U.S.-China trade talks. We've heard that optimism before, so we'll see how all that plays out. But you did write in a musings earlier this month that the price of copper seemed to be teetering on a totter, kind of thing, going up and down and not making a lot of headway.
Well, and that has to do with the fact it was range bound. And you can even say it's range bound over the last 60 days or so. Mm-hmm. But between this price of 285 and 295 for the most part. So there is not a lot of direction. A lot of that, as I've already stated, has to do with hedge funds, which abandoned the market in Q4 of 2018, mm-hmm. came back in short positions in January, and now have exited, for the most part, those short positions and have started to establish small net long positions. There are some fundamentals going on in the copper market that are quite encouraging for a higher price, even though China, which uses 50% of the world's copper now, has been slowing down with its economy. And I would submit that is mainly due to the impasse with the U.S. on trade tariffs. Generally, what it does when its economy starts to slow down is that it goes on an infrastructure build-out for stimulus versus doing what the Western world does, which is buy back its own bonds. China just starts building infrastructure. That's certainly good for copper. China last year, and even as recently as the month of February, has imported record amounts of copper concentrates. Now, part of that is because it looks to me like they're going on a refinery / smelter build out, much as they did in the aluminum market over the last 5 years. And all of a sudden we've got too much aluminum refining capacity. But that may explain why they're accumulating so many concentrates.
What's the supply demand fundamentals right now in terms of global the global situation, Mickey? I'm seeing news from the International Copper Study Group. I guess maybe you have to take into account the source for this, but they're saying that the global market has been in deficit to the tune of 265,000 tons per annum in 2017, and that deficit continues today.
Yeah, well, the latest numbers I saw was for 2018, and it was something on the order of 250,000 tons. And I've seen some numbers lately, and it may be from the ICSG, I can't remember, they are projecting, someone's projecting a 300,000 ton deficit for 2019. But Rob, let's do the math here. The world uses over 24 million tons of copper per year. So a deficit of 200,000 to 300,000 tons is something like 3 to 4 days of annual demand. So it's meaningless.
A rounding error.
All these analysts, anybody that's projecting copper prices, bake in 4% supply disruption every year into their projections. Yeah. That's a million tons of copper. So these deficits or surpluses are so minuscule, they're meaningless.
Right.
And if you look over the last 10 years or even longer, I think we've got data going back to 2005, the copper market is always in balance. It never has a big supply or deficit because it's Dr. Copper. And as the world economy goes and copper demand goes up or down, the producers adjust to that on the fly.
Right. Let's go back. I want to take you back, though, Mickey, to what you were saying about the situation in China. How trustworthy should we be with the data coming out of China? Because You've heard the stories, I've heard the stories, and you've read details about this, kind of like phantom cities being built in China. You know, there's cities of, you know, that normally would house 250, 300,000, half a million people, but nobody's living there. There's roads there, there's buildings there, they've all been built, but there's nobody there. And the country basically has embarked on this building binge to maintain the supply and demand for raw materials, which helps the Chinese economy. Can you comment on that?
Well, I've been to China, and I will vouch for that. There's highways that go to nowhere, right, basically, with nobody on the highway. But that's still, take China with a grain of salt in any statistics you get from China. Now, there's how many months ongoing now have they projected a 6.6% annualized growth in GDP, or how many quarters? Does anybody actually think that's what it is? No. They say that's what it's going to be, and sure enough, that's what it ends up to be. Some pundits, a good example would be Gordon Chang. I don't know if you know him. I do know Gordon Chang. You see him on business TV. You will see him at investment conferences. Right. And he would submit right now that China is in a recession. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't really know, but certainly the guy is well in tune to the economy of China.
Okay. When talking about commodity prices, Mickey, we've done segments on this before, advising listeners that they have to take into account the seasonality factor here. Is there much to comment on there regarding copper at this time of year? In terms of the price
movement?
Well,
yeah, this is the time of year in which copper prices normally go up significantly. And the reason for that is this is the time that consumers stockpile copper. They buy and stockpile copper or copper products, let's say, end users for the coming construction season in the northern hemisphere. So on an annualized basis and we've done this now for 16 years, from the 1st of January of any given year until mid-April, the copper price on a 16-year basis averages plus 16%. Now, in bull market years, which it looks like we're in one of those right now, with copper up 8% on the year, it's even higher than that. So this is a very good time for rising copper prices on an annualized basis.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, what's the situation or expectations concerning supply disruptions right now in copper mines? I've seen some news that Barclays talking about a number of potential disruptions to mine output emerging in Africa. You know, there's Zambia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, because they're increasing mining taxes over there. Any comment on that?
Well, it's very difficult to get handles on that, so I will defer to the analysts at big banks that project these sorts of supply disruptions. I do not see anything in particular on the horizon other than the usual resource nationalism in Zambia and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Freeport got their difficulties straightened out at Grasberg in Indonesia. Right now, I do know that there's a blockage of the highway that comes out of Las Bambas in Peru. That's been going on 4 or 5 weeks right now. The government is now sending in the military. Uh-oh, watch out. Every time that happens in Peru, heads
bad
roll
news.
And people die.
Yep.
Those are just generally unpredictable things, accidents, strikes. Last year, we thought there were going to be a bunch of strikes in Chile. They did not occur. All the union contracts, I think there was something like 37 of them, were settled without strikes. So I would not personally bank on supply disruptions. You know, I look more at the supply-demand fundamentals. inventories, which were down 40, which are now down 46% year over year, they've started to rise a bit, and they're actually up 40% since mid-January, but still down 46% year over year. So look at inventories, look at stocks, look at how the inventories move from New York to Shanghai or Shanghai to London. There's been lots of movement lately. But for me, the fundamentals are positive. We just need these trade tariffs to go away in one way, shape, or form.
Okay, and wrapping up then, Mickey, can I basically conclude a little bit of short-term cautiousness on your part, but still medium-term, long-term, you're bullish on copper?
Absolutely. It's teetering on the totter right now, okay. Rob, as I wrote a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, great stuff. Nice way to wrap it up. Mickey, thanks very much for this, and we'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.